The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus prayed, "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
This reading from the Gospel of John comes at the very end of what is commonly known as the Last Supper. It is the final prayer that Jesus prays for his followers just before his arrest and his judgment and his crucifixion. It is Jesus' prayer for how those who follow him will indeed bear his glory in the world. The concept of glory comes into play in this text, and it's the hope that the glory of the Lord will be accomplished. I think it's important in a time when we find interesting ways to divide ourselves. Certainly there are the playful ways that we divide ourselves based on preferences of one sporting team over another and preferences of one food or one restaurant or one school district over and against another. But there are more serious ways that we divide ourselves, such as in political party and political persuasion. I want to propose to you that if someone asks whether you are conservative or liberal, Republican or Democrat, your answer instead will be, "I'm Orthodox." Now, not in the sense of Greek Orthodox or Russian or Eastern Orthodox, but to say, "I'm Orthodox." The true meaning of the word, which is right glory. To say that I am Orthodox means that it is my hope that in all that I do and all that I say in this world, that God will receive the glory for all that is accomplished in this world. I challenge you, I might even dare you to answer someone that the next time they ask. And it's important to answer that way, because if we get stuck in the divisions of conservative and liberal and Republican and Democratic, then what happens is loyalty is what plays out. But if we move into being Orthodox, it's not about loyalty, it's about faithfulness. Faithfulness to the one who gives us life. So this week, be with me Orthodox, so that the right glory of God is revealed in this world. The right glory of God is shown in how we love one another. There is the mandate in this long section of the Gospel of John where Jesus tells his disciples to love one another. We love to make exceptions to the rule that there are obviously some that we don't have to love because it's difficult to love. It pushes our buttons. It makes us uncomfortable, but it doesn't do away with the mandate that we are to love all people. So it challenges the excuses that we come up with for why we shouldn't love someone. First and foremost, in those excuses that we use for why we shouldn't love someone else, is that we find something morally wrong with the other person. And we believe that if there's something morally wrong with the other person, that excuses us from having to love the person. And then forgiveness gets all messed up because we're not loving the way we are called to love. We have judged the person wrong, even if they may not be wrong. We then expect the person that we have judged to be the one that will confess and the one that needs to be forgiven. Instead of going back to the fact that if we haven't loved in the first place the way God has called us to love, guess who is the one who needs to be forgiven? The one who hasn't loved the way God has called them to love. But that's not displaced forgiveness, as if somehow we are being noble by offering forgiveness to someone we have judged unacceptable, but instead ask for forgiveness for ourselves for those many times when we have refused to love someone that God has called us to love. Being Orthodox, being about right glory, is also about being one with one another. And that comes so easily to us, does it not? I'm hoping you're shaking your head no right now. With a simple poll here, even in this space, would find out that we are all over the spectrum on how we believe about things. Being one with one another does not mean that we necessarily agree on everything. But as people of integrity trying to follow the commands of the Lord, we honor the integrity of every person around us as well, even those with whom we disagree. Picture the story of two men. They lived next door to each other, and there was a rainy season, and there was a storm that went through, and their electricity went out, and they had problems because their sump pumps didn't work, and the food in their freezers went bad, and after they got everything fixed in their houses, they made a pact with each other that one would buy this huge generator that would work for both houses, and the other one would buy all of the electrical wires and everything needed to hook up everything to both houses. And so they went and did this ready for the next big storm, but before that next big storm came along, the two men had a falling out, and they stopped talking to each other, which didn't fare well the next time a storm came through. The electricity went out. The man started his generator, had no wires to connect it to anything. The other man had all the wires, but no power source. And they had the same problem they had before they had even started. It took the wisdom of their wives and some elbows to the side to say, get over yourself and take your wires over to the neighbor and hook it up to the generator. And when the pieces came together, then they were able to discover how life was different because they worked together. Each and every difficult decision we face as a nation or a people, we each bring one part of the conversation, but we're convinced that our part of the conversation is the only right part, and that what other people have to offer is wrong and we have no need of their input. And so it leads to divides on issues like immigration. It leads to divides on issues that affect our schools and our communities. Oneness is being willing to see how we bring all of the parts together and realizing that what I have, well, it's just as important as what you have. And maybe when we plug the wires into the generator, there'll be some kind of spark that will make things different. The right glory of the Lord. And the right glory of the Lord gives us this difficult teaching. And that is our willingness to die for those that we find most problematic in our lives. It's the very thing that Jesus does. He dies for the ones that were the most problematic in his life. Are we going to be willing to die for those with whom we have the most problems? It's that fear of death that gets in the way of us being one people. Because it's that fear of death that leads to idolatry. That is, what is going to save our lives so that we don't have to face death? It's that fear of death, it's that idolatry that leads to the idolatry of guns. That I'm afraid that something might happen where I have to defend myself, and so I need my gun, and we dare not even talk about the role that guns play in our culture. Guns have become idols. They've become idols that we think we can use to protect ourselves and to save our lives. And as long as they are idols, we will never have the courage to do what is necessary to save the lives of people who are being shot day in and day out. But what happens as believers if we no longer fear death? Takes away our need for our idols and opens up a different venue for how we can engage one another. You're not Republican. You're not Democrat. You're not conservative. You're not liberal. You're children of God. You're children of God before anything else. As children of God, Jesus has died for you on the cross so that our sins can be forgiven, that death is no longer a threat. And that eternal life is the promise that's in front of us. And it's that vision of eternal life that breaks into the world now and gives us a vision of how we can live in the moment. And it is my prayer that as we live in this moment, live as people who are giving glory to God. Amen.